Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. If you've been tuning in at the beginning of our segment, you would have heard us speaking about our mixed media art summer camp that's happening at the NAGB this July. It actually starts on Monday, and I'm very happy to be having a great conversation with our guest, San San Lam, who is joining us from Exuma Arts Network in Exuma, and Blake Fox, our education officer, and Zaria Munro Wilkinson, our community outreach officer at the NAGB. And we've been having this great conversation about old story, about folk tales, traditions, about the oral history of the country, and also how the kids are going to be able to participate in that, our artist campers, as Blake and San San have said. And so let's continue this conversation about, you know, what does that oral history look like? You know, I did, there was a point where I did research on Bahamian oral history for my master's thesis, because folk tales and traditions are really a bit of a passion for me. And I remember reading a text that was written in about the 1950s. Someone had come over and done some research on Bahamian oral history. And while for the most part, I have to say, I had to put some of that what he wrote on the side because it was incredibly racist and bigoted. There was a section that I really, that stuck with me when he said, he likened old story to a kaleidoscope of color and how, I guess, how colorful it is in terms of how people speak, because there really is a rhythm to it, right? You think about the story, how the story begins, like there is a structure. It starts with once upon a time, it was a very old time. It had to begin that way, and it could be as fantastical as the storyteller would want it to be, and it had to end a certain way. And it involved call and response as well. So San San, back to you saying, you know, it helped knowing about old story and history of old story also helps you to learn more about the Bahamian culture and why Bahamians speak the way we speak, why we do some of the things we do. Because, you know, we speak in metaphors and similes, like figures of speech, personification. That's just the way we speak. And I don't know if I ever really realized it until I was not living in the Bahamas. And I would say something and people would look at me like I was speaking a different language and ask me if I actually spoke another language instead of English.
I actually loved, if I can just say, I loved reading some of these stories because they were written the way people speak, as you said. And I was like, well, that explains a lot to me, some of the colloquialisms and the terms that I've been hearing and seeing how far back those terms have come. But also what I found really interesting reading the stories is the structures were also quite poetic. Like I was kind of, at first I was like, oh, are these a collection of poems? And that's when I realized, oh no, these are the stories and the structures that they are being told in. And that was a big wow. Okay, this is very artistic. This is almost more, we start even looking at it as more Bahamian literature. This is very much about the language and the writing and the history.
Yes, I think I'll never forget. Someone said to me, this is really random, I was out of the country, like Katrina said, because you don't know until you're around people who don't speak the way you do or don't know, have the same background knowledge as you do. And they said, you always talk like you're singing. So everyone I've ever met from the Bahamas, you always sound like you're singing when you're talking. Everything sounds very sing-songy. And I'm like, okay. That's something I've never heard before. And so when we're thinking about this topic of old story, all of these things start to come up again. And like San San said, sometimes you forget, right? It is oral. And sometimes you don't really know what you know. So when these kids come home from the summer camp, they are going to say, well, I learned about this. And that is going to reignite for their parents old memories that they didn't even know they still had. And that becomes a family moment. That becomes a moment for them to teach each other, for children to teach parents and parents to teach children, and to continue a tradition that is really, because like Katrina said, because it's oral, very easily lost, it becomes a way to reignite the tradition. And it also highlights how visual arts can be used as a tool, because this is what the kids are going to be doing. Yes, we're focused on the history of oral tradition in our country, but we want to have those kids learn how to use the visual art mediums and take their time and explore all of the mediums that we have available for them, explore how they can express these oral traditions and in a way preserve it. So it doesn't become, it doesn't go from oral to written, it goes from oral to visual, and it becomes something that we can then preserve in that way.
I love what everyone has said so far. And I just want to piggyback on what you said, Zaria and Katrina as well. No, but I mean, I think we all touched on it. Just the idea that oral culture, that's a thing that can be easily lost. And at the same time, it's also somehow, it can be more dynamic than reading a thing. It can be more interesting. And I think like that's another extension of like the storytelling, is sometimes we can put a spin on the story. Sometimes we can add little details or frills to make it more exciting or interesting. And I think that sort of spontaneity, that like responsiveness that you're experiencing when you're talking, isn't the same as when you're writing. But I think a lot of these ideas can be again explored through visual mediums like Zaria talked about. And it's just going to be very interesting to see how it translates. And I think I'm just really looking forward to it.
I'm excited to see what the kids produce, because some of these stories that I had read were fantasy, like when you combine different creatures. I love that exercise working with kids, is when I encourage them to be like, you make up your own. Like, what if you were some mythical animal? What would you be? And incorporate all of them in together into one. So having this permission to explore and to experiment and just to try things. I think that's one of the key things that I tried to encourage, is that, you know, the kids are often told what to do, and this is a place and a space where they have the freedom to do whatever they want, and their imagination to go as far as they possibly can is so encouraged. Like that's what I'm like, take it and run fast, run hard, but just take that imagination and go with it. That's what excites me.
And I think this goes back. Yeah. Sorry, Blake.
No, you go ahead, Katrina.
But I think this goes back to something that's really at the core of our summer camp, which is to create a safe space where campers, where children, anybody can come and just feel free to be a part of the creative space, to create, to experience art, to experience the NAGB, and to also not be told, well, you can't do that because you don't have the talent, or you're not good enough, or that's not something that's for you. Because I think this is why I really enjoy working with younger kids, because they haven't been told yet that they can't. So they feel completely free to just dive in and try new things and see what they can come up with. And they're excited and they're enthusiastic. Whereas older kids, they've already gotten to a point in their lives where, you know, they're developing their preferences, but they've also been told what they're not good at. You're not good at that. You shouldn't do that. That doesn't look good. So all the enthusiasm that they may have had just went out the door because they don't have the confidence to create something and put it out there for others to see. And with this camp, you know, we do work really hard to change that. And it's always a bit of a, it's always amazing to see that turning point with the older kids, especially where they come in. Some of them may come in very timid and having very little confidence in what they're able to produce. And then by the end of the camp, they're so enthusiastic and their confidence has really grown, and they're just wanting to make more and do more. And I've seen that at so many summer camps. I'm really looking forward to seeing that at this camp as well.
I also just wanted to add as well, is this idea of students being told what to do. And I think a lot of what we're trying to do at the museum is, I think when people think about the museum, they sort of forget that it is also an educational space. And that's one of our, that's like at the core of our mission. And I think a lot of what we're doing is about questioning and opening up things, broadening horizons, allowing students to question things. And I think this is also helping them to, you know, hone their critical thinking skills and to be more creative and to just explore. And I think, yeah, just incredible.
Yep, yep. So, you know, for all those educators out there, you know, we all know how difficult it is to be an educator. Sometimes you feel like you're not being appreciated. But we all know that feeling when you see your students do well and they succeed, or suddenly a light bulb goes off, or years down the road, you hear them say you were the person who inspired them. So, you know, we hope that with these camps, that they facilitate moments, turning points, light bulbs for any of our campers that can put them on a path that they may not have been on before, a positive one. They may decide that they want to have a career in the creative industries, not necessarily as an artist, or they may suddenly decide that, you know what, I really love the arts. So no matter what I do in life, I will always support the arts or see the value of the arts in my community and be a part of pushing that to have more of a presence. So, you know, it starts when you're young, and the whole idea behind these camps, behind having these kind of engagements, is to allow these children, these young people, to really develop a relationship with their museum. We are the only national art museum in the country. And when you think about that, and we've only been around for less than 20 years, which is incredible because we're very young. So you think about countries that have had museums for hundreds of years, for decades upon decades, and that being a part of the fabric of their community, we're only just getting started. And this is just yet another way for our young people to engage with the institution and engage with the arts. And like San and Blake and Jerry, we've all been saying, you know, the Bahamians are incredibly creative people. It's just a part of who we are. We don't even realize that we're creative. It's even in the way we speak, the way we dress, the way we choose to paint our houses. I mean, I don't know if I've ever gone through a community and seen houses the same color. Everything's a different color. And it doesn't always look good, but listen, it's always colorful. It's always colorful.
Always and again, colorful. Kaleidoscope.
Kaleidoscope.
I love coming to, like, when I first started coming down here, and I started bringing my own paint. The colors I get to pick to bring down to Exuma, I'm like, I get to pick the really bright colors and I get to use them. You know, it's not too many places where it's like expected, and you start bringing in some other colors, like, whoa, that seems kind of, that's kind of dark, or, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the permission to really get colorful here. It's so much fun, and you can see it in the work. It's a different, when I came here from Canada, it was like a whole different world palette of paint that I got to explore when I came down here. So it's something that I know, you know, sometimes we take for granted of where we are originally from, what we're used to seeing, but going from one place to another, you really see the contrast.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think about those trips back home from school, and I always knew when I was back home, just listening to people speak in the airport, it just put a smile on my face. And of course, coming into the communities and seeing the colorful homes, and also just the light from the sun. I mean, the sun is the light is a different color. But we are going to take a break and we will be right back, and we're going to be talking more about the camp and give you more information about the camp and what a day looks like at the camp and how you can get your child involved, whether you are in Nassau or in Exuma. So be sure you come back after these messages.